at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're always delighted to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We're talking about an issue today that's very current, and I believe would be on the hearts and the minds of every conservative, every Christian and patriot today. The event that took place in D.C. yesterday, America Rededicate 250. Did you watch it? Did you go? What are your thoughts? Good, bad, or indifferent? I know right now the left, the socialist Marxist communist, and the Marxist media are all with the hair on fire that President Trump has violated the separation of church and state. That, oh, what was done yesterday, Rededicate America, excluded all religions except Christianity. And God forbid that we do that in America. What are your thoughts? We ought to talk about that today, but ladies and gentlemen, our Marxist media and those on the left, they already have the swords drawn, the arrows focused directly at President Trump and the entire Trump administration. Now they're accusing him of violating the so-called separation of church and state. May I just postulate several questions? Do we have a wall of separation of church and state in our Constitution? Does it exist? Did President Trump violate anything in sponsoring, pushing, promoting the event yesterday in D.C., where thousands upon thousands of Christians and conservatives and patriots gathered, prayed, sang songs? Now listen, I'll be the first one to tell you. I don't agree with the type singing. Nevertheless, I'm not going to attack that or modulate against that. It's the whole picture that I'm looking at. Was it good? Was it bad? Is it good for America? Should we do something like that? Should President Trump be condemned? Did he do something wrong? Those are the questions we're going to talk about today. And we'll look at the issue. Rededicate America 250. Approaching our 250th anniversary. Rededication of America. We had our multitudes of our political leaders in the Trump orbit that spoke about God, read the scripture, prayed, and announced that we are a Christian nation. And yet we have multitudes today that want to reject that. What's wrong with that picture? Do you agree with what happened? What are your thoughts in relationship to it? Did Trump overstep his authority? Should we have something like that in America? By the way, this is the first time in my lifetime that I've seen a president do this. This is the first time, I believe, in what we could literally say, hundreds of years, a couple of hundred at least, since this has been done. I'm thankful personally that we've seen this take place. I'm thankful for the direction that it points America in and the hearts and the minds of Christians today. So overall, let me just simply say, I'm in agreement with what took place. I'm thankful for it. There are a few declensions and a few things that I could question, challenge, ask about, the whys, wherefores. How was the list of speakers who put that list together? What was in mind in the choice of pastors that spoke? That's just a little curiosity I have. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you once again, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book, John 8:31-32. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said this: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God, where the Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And I'm eternally grateful for that statement. If we did not have truth, where would we be in America? Where would we be in the world? What would we do? But we have those that disagree with truth, challenge truth, and we have those that are doing that today in relationship to the Rededicate America. Now, by the way, I believe there needs to be Repent America, not Rededicate America necessarily. So I'm not going to claw at that. But simply, I believe there needs to be a repentance factor mixed into the rededication of America. I understand what the speakers were doing. I understand what they were referring to with the founding fathers. But I believe there needs to be repentance. We'll talk about that today also. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." And I find that to be factually true even today. And we can look around and see what is happening on the Marxist media and the Socialist Communist Democrat Party and what they're saying and doing. Ladies and gentlemen, truth shall still stand regardless of what they say or do. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And I believe we need to understand that. A survey of about a year ago says, and I quote, "Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The millennials today, for the most part, say that each individual determines their own version of truth." Each individual determines their own version of truth. I believe we've seen that rampant today in society that brings about the chaos, the calamity, the confusion that we have, not just in political circles, social circles, financial circles, economic circles, but also in spiritual circles. There's a denial of absolute truth. I'm looking at a headline that says, "Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth." I just defer back to a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And that's my challenge. I believe that's where we ought to be today. Seeking the truth, listening to it, learning it, love it, tell it, live it, and defend it even to death. In fact, that's the very thing that Jan Hus did when he was burning at the stake for standing on truth. He screamed, "Truth shall prevail." I believe we need to grasp that and understand what it connotes and be willing to stand for truth. As you stand for truth, you'll be like, we will be like Charlie Kirk. He was standing for truth. You ever listen to any of his lectures, any of his group meetings, and those that challenge him and his answers and responses? Now, he wasn't a theologian. There's several places in some of his statements that are a little off what we would call sound theological defending of the faith. But he was a defender of the faith, nevertheless. And as a result of that, standing for truth, his life was cut short. Trump is standing for truth. And there's an attempt today has been for about four different times of an assassination attempt. And there are others today, if given opportunity, would attempt to do the same thing. And all of those that stand for truth. Jesus said in John, the 15th chapter, the 18th and the 20th verse, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. If the world persecuted me, it's going to persecute you. And that's where we stand in modern society today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Condo and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Good question. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the very intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a brief monologue. After the monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines, inviting you to call. Join in the dialogue and discussion today. America, rededicate 250. It is a Trump idea, coordinated and carried out by a group, not just under his thumbprint, but at his authorization. I am thankful for it. And we've got questions that I believe people are asking, and I believe we need to answer them as best possible. I go back to Proverbs 29:2, where the Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And we're witnessing those today that's remonstrating against Rededicate America 250, and they're remonstrating against it because they see their power slipping away. You know, with the redistricting across America, and it's setting up now, as the last I understand, it will set up with about 12 to 14 additional Republican House seats that we did not have in the previous elections. It's got the Socialist Marxist Communist Democrat Party in a panic. They're accusing the Supreme Court. They're accusing the Republicans of gerrymandering. They're accusing, and the very thing that they've been doing for quite some time, stealing elections, now they're accusing the Republicans of wanting to steal an election. They're accusing the U.S. Supreme Court as being the helping hands for allowing the Republicans to steal the next election. But I go back to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness, that's rightness before God, exalteth, lifts up, glorifies a nation. But sin is a reproach, a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. So I'm thankful for any effort that we see on the president's part to bring about morals and ethics and values. I'm thankful to see any approach that will point back to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm delighted to see anything that we could do as a nation, especially approaching our 250th birthday, that will get the world focused on where we stand. Listen. We didn't get to where we are as a nation by ourselves. We didn't get to where we are as a free nation, the most powerful nation from a human standpoint of any nation on the globe. We didn't get here by ourselves as a nation. It was because of the power of God operating through our founding fathers and those that walked in the footsteps afterwards. So, ladies and gentlemen, what did I see? I watched it, not all of it. I understand it was about 9 hours in total duration. Some of the music, quite frankly, I could not tolerate. it was everything to me but soothing. But nevertheless, I enjoyed the speakers. I enjoyed those that prayed. I enjoyed especially Marco Rubio. especially enjoyed the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and others. And we're going to talk about that in a moment as we look at what took place and how do we view it. First, I believe we need to go back and look at some facts first. The wall of separation, church and state, does not exist. I'm not going to get into the debate today, the battle today, to prove that statement. Just simply suffice it to say, our founding fathers left no crumb trails to show that in any way there was anything else in mind other than the fact that the government could not dip into the front door of a church and direct the church. Had nothing to do with the church and the church's involvement and the government holding the hands and approving the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America. Listen, there's no wall of separation of church and state. None exist. But the socialist Marxist media are challenging that as fact today. I want us to quickly, though, build a foundation. I want us to look at some of the things that our founding fathers have said. You know, there's been a mantra for some times that America is not a Christian nation, that the founders were not Christians. They were, ladies and gentlemen, Christians are God-fearers. For the most part, I would put them in the category of being saved, Christians. But listen to some of these quotes. It is impossible to rightly govern the nation without God and the Bible. George Washington. Another quote, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. George Washington, 1796, his farewell address. Another quote, our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to govern of any other. John Adams, 1798. Another Adams quote says, the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. Thomas Jefferson, 1813. Thomas Jefferson again. He strongly supported religious liberty and often spoke about Jesus' morals and teachings. Though this is rejected by some, this is what he said. 1787, Thomas Jefferson. I've always said and always will say that the studious perusal of the sacred volumes will make us better citizens. Benjamin Franklin, a Bible and a newspaper in every house, a good school in every district, all studied and appreciated as on their merits, are the principal support of virtue, morality, and civil liberty. Another Franklin quote says, as to Jesus of Nazareth, I think the system of morals and his religion the best the world has ever seen. 1790. Patrick Henry, I cannot but emphasize too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, those from that era should know the intent of our Bill of Rights. They should know the intent of the religious liberties and without the government's authorization to interfere in any of it. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, how should we view what took place in D.C. yesterday? How should we view the great rally of Rededicate 250? Talking about rededicating America. Now, maybe you would ask the question, what does it mean to rededicate? The emphasis and the focus is to go back and rededicating America to the premises and the fundamentals of the foundation of our nation, to rededicate on that premise. And that premise, that basis, was on the basis of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God and biblical Christianity. I'm looking at a major article. I'll just read you a blurb or two from it. Title of the article, A Society Without God is a Society Without Truth. Many of America's future leaders do not recognize the primary truth and first principle upon which our civilization rests. This writer goes into the conversation about Judaism, the background, etc., and I pick up at this point. the revelation of the Word of God to the ancient Israelite nation. It was all on Mount Sinai. It was at Mount Sinai, congregated at the base of the smoking and trembling mountain, that God promised the Israelites that they would be a kingdom of princes and holy nation if they accepted and maintained fidelity to His covenant. In unison, before they had even received the Ten Commandments, the Israelites responded, "All that the Lord God had spoken, we shall do." Further, the writer says, because of the breadth and the depth of its impact and lasting influence, the divine revelation at Sinai was the logical starting point for what we now call Western civilization. Writing thousands of years later, on another inflection point of human history, Alexander Hamilton wrote in the Federalist Number 31, quote, "In disquisition of every kind, there are certain primary truths, the first principle upon which all subsequent reasoning must depend. In the United States specifically, and in Western civilization more generally, it was not long obvious that those primary truths and first principles actually meant the Word of God Himself." Can't get any clearer than that, can you? And our writer further says, "When God falls by the wayside, truth does as well. Recent events underscore that very point." And it goes into details of some of the recent events that point that out. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? What should we say in relationship to it? Do you believe that it's problematic? I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I'll tell you what. I'm listening to you know, like you would say. I tell you, when I was in school in my 50s, I used to pledge allegiance to the flag, to the republic for which it stands, keyword, one nation under God. And you say Democrats, I call them Democrats. Democrats, because I remember back in the day, they stopped my father's car and they put on, vote Democrat. And my father, he was a District 6 out east. I don't know if you know about that, but yeah. And he promoted we got to vote Democrat. And my family right now do the same thing. But they're not Democrats, they're demon crap. I call them that.
Kenneth, one of the things that you find is the Democrats, as you call them, and I believe rightly so, their eyes are blinded. They are, in fact, I can say this as a summary statement for all of those that are Democrats listening. Most of the Democrats today grew up in a Democrat family where they'd vote Democratic and felt that was the right thing to do. The Democratic Party today, the party that's called Democrats, literally are socialist, Marxist, communist. They have left the standard that was set back in the 60s with John Kennedy, President Kennedy. That kind of Democrat has nothing to do with what's called the Democrats today. They're far, far, far flung. They're away from God. They're away from morals. They're away from values. And the design purpose today of those that are in the Democrat Party is simply to undermine, tear down, and destroy anything that's called morals, ethics, and values. So we need to keep praying and ask God to open their eyes, whether your family, my family, or other families, before it's too late. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. We got some others holding. I'll have to take those, but thank you and God bless you. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I'd like to read a quote for your listening audience here.
Right.
This was said by a man, and I'll tell you who it is after I read it. "America is like a healthy body, and its resistance is threefold. It's patriotism, its morality, and its godly spiritual life. If we can undermine these areas, America will collapse from within." And the man that said that was Joseph Stalin. Mm-hmm. The very nature of Stalin himself, in regards to what he thought about America, even after he was the victim of another country's aggression against him, and with our help, you know, defeated that country, he understood that, those concepts about America. And it's when you talk about Democrats, I firmly believe that they follow a book. I don't know if anybody here knows those principles, but it's Alinsky's rules there. And they are actually
Rules for Radicals. That was brought to the forefront through wonderful president. What's his name? The illegal president. Biden. Barack Hussein. Biden. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, Biden. But, yeah, they understand these concepts, and they know that if they can destroy these concepts, that it is the end of America, or end of our nation there. Another man named J.K. Chesterton said, once people stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing, and then they can believe in anything that's given to them. And it's just, it's amazing that these individuals that were preceded our lifetimes understood the premise for God in America and our founding, and understood that the only way to bring this country down is by desecrating those values.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that the present, modern, 21st century Democrat Party, that's exactly what they're attempting to do. Destroy America. Listen, I believe that any Democrat, and I'd love to have one call and give me the rationale, the reason, if you say you're saved, if you say you're a Christian, how do you remain in that demonically controlled organization? Any person that believes in the sodomite LGBTQ agenda, any person that believes that you could chop off healthy body parts and change the DNA in a human being, when the Bible says God created male and female, created he them, there's only two genders, any individual that believes somehow, some way, you can embrace murder by way of abortion and then say you're a Christian, or on top of that, even to say, I'm an American. All of those things are un-American, as un-American as they can be. Jim, question. Did you get a chance to watch any of the rally yesterday in D.C.?
No, sir, I did not. I read a little bit about it. I was too much on my plate yesterday, sir.
Let me read a couple of paragraphs and ask you a question, if you don't mind. It says there was a large Christian prayer rally at the National Mall connected with America's 250th anniversary celebrations, supported by President Trump. Reports say it included government officials, overtly Christian messaging, and some public funding or logistical support. Further in the article, it says, critics quoted in the coverage argued that the event crossed church-state boundaries because it framed America as explicitly Christian and was heavily tied to the federal officials and the White House initiative. How do you respond to that kind of accusation and statement?
Where to start? That's the problem. Absolutely, just trying to do exactly what that first quote by Joseph Stalin said, separate America from... if you look at every state's constitution, they mention God in there. Even our Declaration of Independence, you know, has a very, you know, the thing, not the Biden thing there, the God thing.
Yeah.
You know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness there, that we were endowed by our creators. Mm-hmm. By our Creator, and they were explicitly talking about God. Thomas Jefferson, I'd like to follow up on your 1813 there. That was following from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. That was following a war against the Barbary pirates there. He knew that Christianity was for the United States.
And the Barbary pirates, by the way, for those who do not know, were Islamics.
Yes, that is correct. They Absolutely. Very much were.
Yes. It's amazing today that we'll have those that indicated such wealth for America and desire for America to succeed, and then to have those tearing it down. I watched several speakers and excerpts from them, those that were adamantly opposed to what President Trump was doing. they used a video of him reading, that is Trump, reading 2 Chronicles 7:14 to emphasize that he is pushing Christianity. Jim, our time is up for this half hour, but thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break right after the news.
WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY-FM, Folkston.